The second week we were in here, we looked at the fool, and in Proverbs we have the fool's gallery, and at that time we dealt with the sluggard, or the slovenly one, or the lazy one, or whatever. Today we're going to deal with the simple, and over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be dealing with the stupid. And the helpless. And we'll get into some of this tonight. But these are what one commentator calls the fool's gallery in the book of Proverbs, and it is quite a group. So tonight we wanted to look at the simple, and to do this I thought we would start by looking at the first seven verses of Proverbs, and so that you can see the purpose of the whole book. It does have a purpose. So I'll just read this. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So there's some words here I think we ought to look at. One of the purposes of the book of Proverbs is to give prudence to the simple. Well, prudent or prudence means capable of exercising sound judgment in practical matters, and cautious or discreet in conduct, circumspect, sensible, and not rash. Discretion is another word that we need to look like. It talks about discretion for the young. I think we should have invited the youth, huh? It's a purpose or a device, a plan, the action or power of discerning judgment, the quality of being careful about what one does or says. To discern means to distinguish mentally, to see the difference between two or more things, to discriminate. And finally, the definition of simple, which I have here. Most of us, if I were to say that person is a simpleton, or he's a simple person, you would think that they're sort of mentally deficient, or very innocent or naive or something like that. But in the Bible, this word is from the Hebrew, which means to be open like a door. So the simple is not somebody who's mentally deficient or naive, or at least not naive, except in a purposeful way. He is wants to stay open to all possibilities. I was getting interested in the stock market once, and I was asking my dad, because he knew a little bit about it, and I said, Dad, how do you make money in the stock market? He said, well, you get advice from somebody who's a lot smarter than you. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, somebody will tell you when to buy. He said, but you have to make sure that they're around when it's time to sell. And most people in the stock market, their problem is they want to be open. They don't want to miss an opportunity. So they keep waiting for the price to get as high as it's going to be. If they sell at $25 and it goes to $26, they feel like they have really missed it because they didn't get that last dollar. And so the next time when their stock is going up, they keep waiting because they want to be open. They don't want to move too fast. And the problem is when it hits that last thing and starts to go down, it goes down in a hurry. And then the simple person might say, well, I'll have to keep the stock or I'll sell it at a loss and buy something else, because they want to be open to all possibilities. And the simple needs to, it says here, they need to be given prudence. They need to be given a way of planning, a way of figuring out how to act in this life. Prudence is an old word. And sometimes when we talk about prudence, you know, women used to be named Prudence, but maybe prudence wasn't so prudent and it fell out of favor. But now people will call you an old prude if you're cautious, or if you exercise judgment, or if you have some kind of a scheme. We have to be careful about this prudence, because in the Bible, Satan is called very prudent, because he makes plans, and he makes plans that work. So he's crafty, scheming. A person who's prudent has some criteria that they live by, and they make their decisions by that, and they avoid trouble. So this is the thing that the simple person needs. Now, we've been told in our culture that being open-minded, open to possibilities, that's a good thing. I remember often being told, well, you just don't know how the other guy feels until you've walked a mile in his moccasins. Well, I walked in moccasins. I don't have to walk a mile. I'm going to get me some shoes. We also talk about this in terms of prejudice. And if there's one thing you do not want to be in our society, is prejudiced. The problem is that if you are avoiding all prejudice, you're completely open to having your mind changed in whatever way. Because all prejudice means is that you have prejudged. Now, when we talk about race or some other thing, which where prejudice is very clearly something that we need to be a little bit careful about. Most of us live our lives because we have prejudged most of the things that we do. Now, if my wife says, let's go have steak, I don't have to go through a lot of evaluation to decide whether or not to do that. I know steak tastes good. It tastes good every time I get it. I have prejudged. I have a prejudice about steak. It's good. Okay? And so it cuts down on the amount of time it takes for me to make up my mind. I have prejudged that. I am prejudiced. if she says to me, let's go have chicken at some place. Well, I have a prejudice about chicken. And I'll say, do they have steak? I remember when the first President Bush, when that big broccoli thing, and he had said, my mother forced me to eat broccoli. I've already figured out. I am prejudiced against broccoli. Just don't even serve it. And oh, you would have thought that he had killed somebody. And because everybody says, well, how can you be prejudiced? You need to keep trying it. You need to keep trying it until you like it. And he says, I don't like it. I already know I don't like it. I don't want to go through that evaluative process. We are, let's take the Ten Commandments. We've been going through the Ten Commandments in our Sunday morning services. And the Ten Commandments is something that God teaches us, and we learn it. And he says, I want you to be committed to these and to have a prejudice or have prejudged whether or not you should murder. When you walk up to somebody and they hurt you or you don't like the way they look or whatever, I want you to have a prejudice against pulling out a knife or a gun and killing them. Do not murder is a prejudice. It's something I don't have to think about anymore. Does everybody understand? This is the way we live our life. If we didn't have these prejudices, if we didn't have these things figured out, we would constantly be having to make decisions based on getting the facts and evaluating the facts and then coming to a conclusion. And our lives would be so complicated and it would take so long for us to make one decision. If you just want to take one simple decision, like blinking your eye. Now, we blink our eyes, we think without much thought. But we do think about it. We have decided that our eyes will blink. And because they blink, and when we notice certain conditions in our eyes, that's a decision. It's a prejudged decision. And most of us would consider that somebody who propped their eyelids open so that they couldn't blink and stared at the sun, we would say that is a foolish person. Okay? Because they're trying to figure out whether or not they should blink. Well, they should already have that figured out. Most of us get our prejudices from our parents. My parents taught me a prejudice against hot stoves. They said, don't touch the stove, it's hot. Well, I apparently was kind of open-minded about that and had to learn. But now I'm pretty prejudiced against hot stoves. If I see that it's hot or I feel the heat, well, I don't put my hand on it. It's predetermined. I've already decided. Okay? We do a lot of things in our life because we have prejudged the situation. I will sometimes be walking down the street and I'll see 8 or 10 young boys or young men, teenagers. Now, I just have learned that when you get a group of 15 to 20-year-old young men in a group of 10, that I'm going to find a way to cross to the other side of the street and give them a wide berth. And it really doesn't matter whether they're white, black, Mexican. It's just young men in a group. It's a dangerous situation unless you have your posse with you, too.